Well, if you have your Bible, please turn with me to Psalm 21. Psalm 21. We are going to consider the first half of the psalm tonight, verses 1 through 7. Psalm 21. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, as we now read your word, we pray that your Spirit would illumine our hearts and open our eyes to see all the wondrous things that you have for us. O Lord, show us Christ in these very words. Give us great joy in him, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. Psalm 21, beginning in verse 1, hear now the very word of God written for you and for me today. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. The king shall have joy in your strength, O Lord, and in your salvation how greatly shall he rejoice. You have given him his heart's desire, and have not withheld the requests of his lips, Selah. For you meet him with the blessings of goodness. You set a crown of pure gold upon his head. He asked life from you, and you gave it to him, length of days forever and ever. His glory is great in your salvation. Honor and majesty you have placed upon him, for you have made him most blessed forever. You have made him exceedingly glad with your presence, for the king trusts in the Lord. And through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved. Amen. Well, people of God, as King David was a godly, prayerful man who, by the grace and work of God, led and taught God's people in being a prayerful people, we see this as a very important context here today. We witness this to be true throughout the Davidic Psalms in God giving us many windows into David's heart and life as he is regularly before his Lord in times of struggle, in times of confession and prayer and praise. We also witness it through Psalms like Psalm 20, in which David gives God's people a model prayer to pray, petitioning divine blessing upon David as he headed off to war. And what was the focus of that prayer? It was the assurance of God's salvation. It was a prayer for God to bless and protect and to save the king in his day of trouble, in the battle that he would face, having confidence that God would. If you recall, it was a prayer that opened with a plea for God to both hear and defend the king. In the Lord's defense of his servant, the plea was specifically that the name of the God of Jacob would defend David, that it would set him on high. And such a strong and powerful name is the name of the Lord. Such a strong and powerful name our God has. For it represents God himself and his might. Never forget and be blessed by Paul's words about the highly exalted Lord Jesus, who has the name above every name, in Philippians 2, beginning in verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You know, one of the beauties of Scripture is that we see Jesus throughout. We really do. As we see Christ from cover to cover, Psalm 20 was no exception, and neither will be Psalm 21. Indeed, as we are refreshed by Psalm 20, we recognize that the trouble and victory David experienced foreshadowed the trouble and victory of Christ. Jesus knew his day of trouble well, and remember how he prayed to God the Father to give him strength. He offered his righteous life and sacrificial death to God for sinners. And further, we know that the resurrection is proof that the Father accepted Christ's sacrifice. God fulfilled all of Christ's righteous and holy desires. And so we rejoice in Christ's victory. We rejoice in his resurrection, his ascension, and his session. And so whereas Psalm 20 was a prayer filled with assurance, Psalm 21 is a prayer filled with thanksgiving for answered prayer. It's a psalm that points to the exaltation and the glory of Christ, the Messiah. And so let's look at David's words of joy in God's salvation in verses 1 and 2. Divine blessing and a crown in verses 3 through 5. As well as the eternally blessed king in 6 and 7. Now, as we consider verses 1 and 2, remember how the people prayed in Psalm 20, verses 5 through 6, saying, "We will rejoice in your salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand." And here in Psalm 21, verse 1, what does he say? "The king shall have joy in your strength, O Lord, and in your salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice." Now, victories are easy, my friends, and often tempting opportunities for kings to relish and to celebrate their own might and success. We read in many occasions, even in multiple forms of literature, how when kings return from battle victorious, what was true? Pomp and circumstance. In rides the victorious king. And yet David wasn't a king like those the people in 1 Samuel 8:5 desired. They desired a king to judge them like all the nations. No, David didn't only have confidence in the strength of the Lord. He didn't only have assurance of God's support in the fight. But joy filled his heart as he witnessed God's answer to the prayers of his people as God showed himself strong with David and his men. Beloved, how greatly we rejoice in the strength of the Lord in our salvation. Joy in the heart that flows out of the mouth with praise must be a reality for every Christian. Yes, we struggle with that sometimes. But we should all, and we must all, shout for joy at such an occasion and many more. If and when rejoicing wanes, we must be quick to pray for divine refreshment in this glorious truth. You have been redeemed and rescued. Praise the Lord for that. May we never be ho-hum about the wonder and significance of our deliverance and victory that Christ has accomplished for us. This always, and it must be, a great time of joy and rejoicing. And indeed, the joy and rejoicing that overcomes the darkness and despair and discouragement that we often face. We are blessed by this focus being found in many other places in Scripture. Elsewhere in the Psalms, David says in Psalm 13, verse 5, "But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation." Again, he says in Psalm 35, verse 9, "And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation." Psalm 40, verse 16. "Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let such as love your salvation say continually, 'The Lord be magnified.'" Did you hear that? Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. How often are you glad in the Lord, beloved? Do you love the salvation that the Lord has brought you and granted you? Indeed, may we say continually, the Lord be magnified. This was David's focus. It wasn't on himself. The Lord be magnified for his work, for the victory, for his great salvation. Isaiah gives us a wonderful picture in Isaiah 61, verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Beloved, see how our Lord clothes us with his own glory so that we may enjoy his salvation. This is a picture of union with Christ and his imputed righteousness to us. We wear the robes of his righteousness, and that is a wonderful thing. They envelop us. When the Lord God looks at us, he sees his Son's righteousness. And having given the 70 authority to trample serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy in Luke 10, verse 19, Jesus goes on to say in Luke 10, verse 20, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Again, such a temptation that we weak sinners, even such as his disciples, were gifted by the Lord to do such miraculous things in his name. There is the warning, don't rejoice in this, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Again, the joy of our salvation. The reality of the redeemed, that our names are written in heaven and they will never be erased. Speaking of Christ, Peter says in 1 Peter 1, beginning in verse 8, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Rejoicing now. Joy-filled hearts. Looking forward to the end. Even as Christ has saved us. Even as he is saving us. And even as he will save us. We see that we have joy-filled and hopeful hearts as we look forward to the receiving of the end of our faith, the salvation of our souls. But again, David's words in verse 1 of Psalm 21 point us to Christ, who also rejoiced in the strength of the Lord, the divine strength that he had, which enabled him to endure that great burden of the wrath of God upon sin for all the sheep that God had given to him. God anointed Jesus, the man of sorrows, remember, with the oil of gladness more than his companions. Psalm 45, verse 7. Speaking of Jesus further, the writer to the Hebrews tells of the joy that he had in carrying out his mission when he says in Hebrews 12, 2, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. My friends, in triumph over his enemies, Jesus rejoices in the power and the strength of the Lord. Sometimes we may not remember that verse. Sometimes we may not remember in all that Christ accomplished and the details of him going to the cross, that for the joy that was set before him, he endured such for us. He knew what was to come. He knew the outcome. And he had great joy in the redemption of his people and his accomplishing it. Whereas the people prayed that God would give David the desires of his heart in Psalm 20, verse 4, what was God pleased to do? Look at verse 2 of Psalm 21. You have given him his heart's desire, and have not withheld the request of his lips. Selah. Hear his answered prayer. And that is to be meditated on and thought about. Again, that word Selah is wonderful. Pause and think about what was just said and the meaning and the impact of it. As it is true that God granted David the desires of his heart expressed through the prayer of his lips, which is evident in victory, so too the Father gave Jesus the desires of his heart, which were expressed in the same way. And where are Christ's desires chiefly expressed in Scripture? In his high priestly prayer in John 17. It's a wonderful place to see them. Now that Jesus is exalted to the right hand of the Father, God has granted his desire. Jesus knows that all those for whom he died will be with him forever. In John 14, beginning in verse 1, we read, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. As Christ loves his people, as he goes in preparation to prepare for our coming and our arrival into heaven, we see here that he promises his return, and he promises his return to receive us and to be with him forever. He's not just creating and building a glorious mansion of Trump-like quality. It is far greater than anything that we could imagine in its beauty, in its perfection. But indeed, he is preparing to receive us that we can be in his presence, taking on immortality, the corruption, being incorruptible, that we can be in his presence and be with him forever. And so know that if your hearts are right with God, he will also grant you the desires of your heart. We see this in Psalm 37, beginning in verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Beloved, when we pray and we truly desire the will of the Lord to be done, we know and have confidence that he indeed will accomplish those things. But notice what he says: to trust, do good, feed on his faithfulness, and delight in him. Obey him. Love him and embrace him in your relationship with him. And as you call upon him, he knows your desires and those that are within his will, those that are good and godly, and those that he desires to bless you with, he indeed will. And so we see in verse 3 that David also speaks of divine blessing and a crown. Look at this. For you meet him with the blessings of goodness. You set a crown of pure gold upon his head. Now, David's words here aren't referring to his coronation, but rather to his return from victory. He was the war leader who returned to his throne with the crown once again being placed on his head. David's prayer to the Lord in 2 Samuel 7, beginning in verse 25, is helpful here. "Now, O Lord God, the word which you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house, establish it forever, and do as you have said. So let your name be magnified forever, saying, 'The Lord of hosts is the God over Israel.' And let the house of your servant David be established before you. For you, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, have revealed this to your servant, saying, 'I will build you a house.' Therefore your servant has found it in his heart to pray this prayer to you. And now, O Lord, you are God, and your words are true. And notice, and you have promised this goodness to your servant. Now, therefore, let it please you to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue before you forever. For you, O Lord God, have spoken it, and with your blessing, let the house of your servant be blessed forever." Now we know that such eternal blessing is fulfilled in Christ as the seed of David, who is seated on his throne. But further, at Christ's ascension, God the Father met him with great blessings, bestowing on him a glorious crown. We see this in Acts 5, 30 and 31. But notice also what David goes on to say in verses 4 and 5. "He asked life from you, and you gave it to him. Length of days forever and ever. His glory is great in your salvation. Honor and majesty you have placed upon him." Indeed, David rejoiced at the salvation that was his in the promised Messiah. He also petitioned the Lord for a long life, length of days, that his enemies desired to snuff out. And God blessed David in his life, as well as in that which was to come, being eternal life in Christ. And in his exaltation, though further, as we consider how we see Christ in this, Jesus received honor and glory from his Father, the glory with which he had with him before the worlds were, John 17:5. On him is laid the charge of universal government, and to him all authority and power in heaven and on earth has been committed. Jesus will reign forever and ever. His kingdom will have no end. His kingdom is eternally blessed. Praise the Lord. And thus David goes on to proclaim in verse 6, "For you have made him most blessed forever. You have made him exceedingly glad with your presence." My friends, Jesus is the most blessed for all eternity. Though David was very glad to be in the presence of his Lord, Christ even more so in the presence and fellowship with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. And how do we know that this is true? Again, David's words in Psalm 16 are the words of Christ in Psalm 16, beginning in verse 8. "I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. And therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life, and your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Beloved, here is what is true, the blessings, the benefits of being in the presence of the Lord. Indeed, presence in his presence, having the fullness of joy. Oh, how we experience joy now, but it is not in its fullness. But yet there we will, in its complete and perfect fullness. And at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. It's not that we look for pleasure in the same way that we do here on earth, and we're like, oh man, that is fantastic. I am going to be happy and pleasure-filled with all of my fancies forevermore. No. All right. These are the pleasures of God. These are the pleasures of what is good and right and holy and pure that he bestows upon his people from his right hand, the right hand of strength, his hand of blessing. And those pleasures will have no end. Eternal life in his presence, knowing his pleasures. And in verse 7, David says, "For the king trusts in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved." Blessed is the king who trusts in the Lord. He is a wise and godly king to do so. Again, the message of trust being foundational is pressed. Through God's mercies, his king stands strong. We see that in God's blessing of David, but we also see that in Christ our Lord, the true and eternal king that cannot be moved, that will never fall, that will never fail, and whose sovereign rule and reign will be forever. And so, beloved, salvation belongs to the Lord. The joy in answered prayers for David point us to the prayers and joy of Christ. Jesus is the great victor and Savior and King, and he delights in it all. Our Savior magnified his Father, and the Father has glorified his Son. And therefore, the glory of the Son of God is seen so brightly and clearly. The glory of Christ is great in the salvation that God gives to his people, for God has blessed him with honor and majesty forever. Amen. And as the Bible teaches us that there will be far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory for you and me as the children of God, how much greater is the glory of Christ? And therefore delight and take great joy in honoring and worshiping him. Rejoice in his joy and triumph in his exaltation. Again, this is a wonderful picture that we see here. The exaltation of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God for his word. Let's pray together. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, you indeed are to be praised. Lord, we pray that you would sustain such wonderful joy in our salvation. And when we are weak, O Lord, refresh us and remind us and restore that joy in us, we pray. Indeed, that our eyes may always be upon you, Lord Jesus. O Lord, may you be magnified. We praise and exalt your holy name. We praise you for all the wondrous and wonderful blessings that we have in your presence and that which is to come, even the pleasures and being with you face to face in full communion with you for all eternity, the great victorious King, the head of his church, the living and triune God. Amen.